Welcome to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast with Rick Fox. We're here to talk about the industry with some of its biggest influencers. From technology, trends, and current events, if it's happening in insurance, you'll hear about it here. Make sure to tune in every week and join in on the conversation with us on social media at Vertafore. And now, here's Rick Fox.
Welcome back to another episode of the Vertafore Insurance Podcast. I'm the host, Rick Fox. And this week we have what I think is going to be such a great conversation about education. We're going to talk a little bit about legalized marijuana, and we're just going to pick the brain of somebody to me who is so much smarter than I am that I'm literally jotting down notes already, excited about this conversation. Patty Harmon, editor-in-chief of Claims Magazine, is going to fulfill a hole in my brain of stuff that needs to be learned today. Patty, thank you for being on. We're so glad to have you.
Oh, thank you so much, Rick. I really appreciate being here.
Well, and we got to give a shout out to Rosalie Donlin over at National Underwriter. She said, you got to have Patty on the show. I've seen you, Patty, I've seen you at events before and speaking, and and I'm a fan, and I'm glad to have you. So here's the best way to start. Kind of getting to where we are today is tell us the quick story. Tell us the Patty story, journey that got you to editor-in-chief at Claims Magazine.
Well, before I was at Claims, I was actually the editor-in-chief of a magazine for the cleaning restoration industry. So I covered that industry for probably about 18 years. And it was interesting because when I left there, I had the opportunity to come to Claims. And Claims to me was the epitome of the magazine that I wanted to work for. So it was just such a privilege to come here. So I had the property and casualty piece. And once I got on staff, then I had to learn about workers' comp and auto. Mm-hmm, yeah. And just there are so many great people in this industry. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why the education piece is so important to me, because the way that I was able to get up to speed really quickly was that there were a lot of different resources that I had at my disposal, and it made it very easy for me to learn a lot about the industry, the ins and outs of it, what was important to claims executives, what they were looking for, all of those sorts of things. So that was sort of how I made that transition, and it's just been... it's fascinating to me because people say, oh, well, what do you like to cover? Well, just about everything. Like to me, fraud is a huge, that's just so fascinating because my mind doesn't go there. And yet when we write stories about fraudsters and what they do and how they come up with some of these ideas and how they think that they won't be caught, it just always amazes me. It's like, really? You thought you could get away with that?
Yeah, right. Well, I think you know, Patty, if I say, like this is an understatement, but I'm going to say it. Patty is, she is all about being blessed. I think you're blessed. Feel blessed. Tell me if I'm right about your ability to help people, to educate people, and that comes out in the way that when I see the articles that you've put in your magazine, when I see the presentations that you give at shows. I just think that I'm so excited about this because we're talking about educating the industry, you being an educator of the industry, and digging in on that for me is where this is going to be really good stuff. So I think the thing I want to start with, and for me, this feels like the kind of the jumping off point is, okay, I'm going to say something and then I want you to kind of respond to it. Education comes in many shapes and sizes. Go.
Yes, there are so many opportunities now. We don't have to just sit in a classroom and learn anymore. When you think about it, there are things like podcasts, like what we're doing. There are webinars. You can learn online from your desk. You don't even have to travel somewhere. But that's not to say that the many different industry conventions and conferences don't have value. They're extremely valuable because that FaceTime that you get when you are sitting down at a table with somebody and you're just saying, who, you know, where do you work? What do you do? What are the issues that you encounter on a daily basis? Nothing can replace that one-on-one opportunity to learn. But they're all across the country now. There are some organizations that do regional conferences. So you know, there isn't a reason not to be able to do that. And then there are also new ways to even learn online. We were talking a few minutes ago about using virtual reality and artificial intelligence to train employees, which to me is just so fascinating because technology is allowing us to literally be in the midst of that learning experience. And it's just like you're right there.
Well, and I think if you think about it from like anybody's perspective, anybody in this industry, whether you work I want to make sure we have a lot of listeners that obviously don't work in claims all day, but what you're speaking about is generic to what everyone needs to be doing, which is getting smarter at their industry, more experience, more knowledge, learning. And so the first, like I said, the first step is how the education piece, but even the prequel to that is how do you learn? Like, how does a person learn? And it's interesting. You told me a little bit about a tour you went on when you were out in Cincinnati this year, actually at the NetView Accelerate show. You were there speaking and you went on a tour. But it was interesting to hear how companies in this case are out there teaching and they're using ways that are very valid, very user friendly for certain people. So before you say this, I want people to listen in and say, okay, how do I currently learn? What is the best way for me, Rick Fox, to learn? And could I look at other ways of learning? And this is an interesting way that a carrier has done that, right?
Yes, it is. And you know what? You're right. Everybody does learn differently. Some people, they have to read it and hear it and highlight it, and reading it out of a book works really well for them. Other people are experiential learners. And that was what was driven home for me when I went and toured the American Modern Training Facility. It's a 50,000 square foot facility that has two houses inside of it. One is a modular home. Then they have a whole bunch of different kinds of roofs so that adjusters can learn, hey, this is what it looks like when a tree falls on a roof, that type of thing. They have a structure that can be flooded with water. So think about it. If you have ever had a flood in your house, most people don't understand how many gallons of water a pinhole leak in a line running to a toilet or to a washing machine can release over a weekend. We are talking tens of thousands of gallons. And so in this learning facility, whoever is there to be trained, whether they are agents or brokers or adjusters, can go in and they actually flood the building out. You get to see where the water travels, and then they actually learn how the building dries. Where does it go? It travels behind the cabinets in the kitchen. It travels, you know, water always travels to the lowest possible level. So then they have to track if the leak was on the second floor, how far down did it travel, that sort of thing. So they get to do that. And then they do the same thing for fires and smoke damage, because smoke damage, while water travels down, smoke will always travel up higher. So they get to see where it travels and where it could be trapped and that sort of thing. And then one of the other things that I thought was so cool, because they have adjusters who adjust motorcycles, they have like a 1 or 2 week course there where they completely take a motorcycle apart and they put it back together so that you know exactly what's involved when that claim comes across your desk. And it's the same thing for even if you're a broker or an agent. How can you recommend coverage for someone if you don't understand what you're covering or what you're offering the coverage for or what it's going to take to replace that house, that type of thing? So all of these are just great ways for people to learn.
And I think as people are listening in, I just want to hammer this point home. Everything you just said to me is super cool. Like, especially in my position. And I think like you and I talked about this at a different time, that we are in a privileged position that we get to educate, that we get to give, to pass on information. And my forum is this podcast and bringing on people like you that have expertise well beyond that of the normal, usual person in our industry that they can glean information from. But like what you just told me about that, what a cool experience. And that would be an experience for everyone, right? I mean, that's not just, I'm a claims adjuster. No, that is our industry, because at the end of the day, this thing we do, insurance, is about that, right? If I'm an agency owner, if I'm a producer, if I'm an account manager, a CSR, if I work at a carrier, marketing rep at a carrier, if I'm whatever I'm doing, obviously then of course anyone in claims, but I need to have this expertise or at least enough knowledge to carry on a conversation that differentiates me from my competition. And claims understanding, because again, this is the most important part of what we do in insurance, is take care of people. Then having that expertise, if you want to be a trusted advisor in your space, if you want to differentiate yourself from the competition, learn from what we're talking about here. There was another thing you told me about. I think you were at the Connected Claims Technology Conference. And they were using VR? I mean, all the way to VR at that level?
Yes, there was a company there that uses virtual reality to help train employees. And they have a number of different modules. And the first one that I did was related to water damage. And you literally feel like you're in the center of whatever it is you're learning about. In this case, it was water damage. And so they flooded the space that I was in and they said, okay, pick six different areas that could be flooded or where the water could have come from. And because of my background in restoration, it didn't take me very long to do that.
Boom, boom, boom. Gotcha. What's next?
Right, yeah. So, but then another module deals with softer skills, like how do you hire and fire and train, that sort of thing. And so the module that I did was on how to fire somebody. And that one I didn't do quite as well on, but it's so cool because there was literally like there was someone sitting across the desk from me and I would ask him questions and he would respond. And then what would happen is if I said the wrong thing or asked the wrong question, the module would say, oh, nope, that's not correct. This is how you should phrase this, or this is what you should say. So you can use VR and AI for soft skills as well as just mechanical skills type of thing. And that's what I found was just so amazing. And they've been working with one large carrier and they said that it helped their employees learn and actually retain what they had learned. And it improved their decision-making accuracy by 22%. Well, that's a big change.
That is a big change.
And it's just right. And yet think about it, they can go through and they can learn without ever leaving their desk type of thing. So
Patty, that's what
makes education so interesting to me.
Right. I agree. And let's just reiterate one more time. Like, I think what's cool about what you're talking about here again is how many different ways there are to learn. So if you're raising your hand out there and you're saying, yes, I want to be better at my job. I want to learn more about whatever that might be. I think Patty's done a great job of talking about here is how many different ways there are for that to be the process. So figure out how you want to learn. Like you said, is it, do I want to read it in a book? Do I want to listen to it on a podcast? Do I want to go to a site and be taught live like you did at American Modern? Is it now becoming VR and virtual reality things that are more prevalent in our world? It's more reality. So it all goes back to the beginning of this, which is one, are you willing to learn? Are you raising your hand and saying, yes, I want to be better? Start there. Then once you've agreed with yourself on that, finding, you know, people like Patty, people like this podcast, ways for you to get better at your job, learn maybe things that you're not comfortable about. Maybe that's claims. Maybe your job is a producer in your agency and you know claims are the thing that happen when something goes bad. But if you could have a different conversation about the six places that water might damage a premises, that's a different conversation that makes you sound and actually makes you smarter about your job. So I think, Patty, that section of this is so powerful and your kind of understanding of it. And I can hear it in your voice that you're passionate about learning, not only yourself, but then taking that and teaching it to other people. I think I'd like to kind of shift gears here, but before I do, I know you're doing in the magazine currently, you're doing a series called Behind the Scenes. This might be another good way for people to learn, right? Is there more education here? Yep. Tell me about it.
Right. Well, because I've had the opportunity to go a number of different places, we started this series. The first place that we profiled was the 1-800 Water Damage Flood House out in Michigan. And it was so funny because they let me come in and they said, okay, so here's a hose. You get to flood the living room. And I'm standing there, they're taking pictures, and I am just grinning from ear to ear. And they're like, why are you having so much fun doing this? And I said, I love my job. And this is just so cool to me to be able to do this. Stand here. Yes.
I've always had, you know, it's weird. I've always had that feeling in a grocery store. I've just always wondered, how cool would it be if I could just destroy this aisle? Like every can is stacked perfectly. I've never done it. I've never acted on it. But I've always felt like, man, how fun would it be to just run down here and just knock all of these cans off? So probably similar to that, right?
Yes, it was. And I said, you know, this is just such a cool thing to be able to do that. And I've been to a lot of different flood houses and training facilities around the country. And it's always just so amazing to me what they are able to do in a very small space. I mean, when you go into these places, a lot of them have, some of them have carpeted floors. They also have tile floors. They have wood floors because that's what you find in a house. And then they have furnishings and curtains get wet and knickknacks and all of that sort of thing and counter spaces and it seeps into the walls. And then you have tile on the walls, you have wallpaper, and you have just regular drywall and paint. So all of that needs to be addressed. And that's why these training facilities, I think, are just so incredibly important because it gives you a very real world opportunity to learn.
And I've been in this industry for a really long time. I was an agent for a really long time. And what's funny about what you just said about the walls and it getting into the walls and whether it's plaster or wallpaper or drywall or whatever there is, I can speak to that because I'm in the industry, but I can really speak to it because when my youngest daughter was like 2.5, her and her friend thought it would be a good idea down in the basement of my house to take the toilet paper off the roll and see how much of it they could get into the toilet and then flush it over and over and over until it started coming up through, it was a basement, so coming up through the shower. It wasn't one of those tubs where it would have stopped the shower. By the time we found it 3 days later, it was everywhere. I mean, it was furniture, drywall, everywhere. So I learned most of what I know about that from an actual claim. Having been an agent, you hear about it or you talk to customers or people that are going through that. But yeah, you're right. Those kind of situations, I learned so much from that. It was not a fun learn. Now I'm glad I know it, but going through it, and you can't be mad at her. She's 2.5, pigtails. She didn't do it on purpose, but it just was that thing, right? So I think, how do they, so if they just go to the magazine, that's where they find this series. It sounds like a really awesome way to learn. Okay, good. Shift gears, major shifting of gears coming up right here. Okay. I want to talk about, you have spent a lot of time in this. I know you've got webinars on it, series of webinars, in fact. And it's such a topic now for everyone in every walk of life, but especially in our industry, it's the effect of legalized marijuana on the insurance industry. You have a position, you have some opinions, you have some facts. I want to hear them.
Well, it's been very interesting. I've been following it for several years, but because so many states have legalized it in the last 2 years, this is really becoming an issue that the insurance industry needs to watch. And a lot of insurers are saying, oh, well, it's not legal on the federal level. We don't have to worry about this yet. But that's really not true because there are a lot of issues that are coming to the surface now. And actually, last Friday, the House just approved the bill that if it goes to the Senate and it's passed, would allow insurers to provide insurance for marijuana-touching businesses. Mm-hmm. So what a lot of people, and it's interesting to me, because as I started doing my research and talking to people, I kept thinking, wow, there is a lot of money involved in this industry. I mean, we are talking that this is a multi-billion dollar industry. But one of the things that people are just starting to do now that I, as I was doing my research, I was like, this is a big deal because it touches every line of insurance. It touches property and casualty, commercial general liability, workers' compensation. Think about it. If you have an employee who is injured on the job, and because a doctor can't prescribe medical marijuana, they can say, you know, you might want to check this out. It might help with the pain that you're feeling. So all of a sudden that becomes a workers' comp claim, and do insurers and employers have to cover that? Same thing with directors and officers' liability. Product liability is going to be a huge issue because it's regulated on the state level and not on the federal level. So even if the way something is manufactured is done basically the same way from state to state, and they have some of the same issues, every state addresses it differently. And then think about the transportation issues involved with that. And then consider just if you have somebody who is driving under the influence, how does that happen? Mm-hmm. And I have an interesting story about that, because I had given it some thought, but not a lot. But earlier this year, I was at an insurance conference out in Arizona, and I got into the Uber, and I'm talking to the driver, and she's like, oh, what do you do? Why are you here? I said, oh, I'm the editor of an insurance magazine. I'm here for an insurance conference. And she says, I work for XYZ Insurer when I'm not driving for Uber. I said, oh, how fascinating. Then you'll love this story I'm working on. I'm looking at how legalized marijuana is going to affect the insurance industry. Next words out of her mouth were, I have my medical marijuana card. I smoke it every night before I go to bed.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sitting in the back seat of the Uber going, okay, so what do I do with this now?
Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh my goodness.
And I had not done enough research at that point to know that marijuana, it affects people very differently from alcohol. But I didn't know that at the time. But let me tell you, I was very alert to who was around us and what was going on and how she was driving. I arrived perfectly safely, no issues at all. It just really kind of floored me there for a minute.
That is crazy. That's a good story. And you have those, like, I've had so many crazy experiences in my Ubers, or, you know, it used to be taxis and now it's Ubers. What's interesting now is, and I find this funny, but if you have preferences, and you can put as a preference that you don't want a conversation, but I think that's so rude to say that, right? Like, if I put in, don't talk to me, it's literally like me getting in the car and putting my hand up and saying, don't talk to me. So but that is a really good story. Okay. So talk to me at the same thing. Still talking about the impact of the legalized marijuana on our industry. Talk about cyber.
Cyber is a big issue. Think about it, because in every state where it's legal for medical use, you have to have a medical use card. All of that is tracked through computers. A lot of these dispensaries, some of them may be attached to very large commercial concerns, but some can be some small mom and pops. Mm-hmm. Smaller businesses traditionally do not have the same level of cybersecurity that some of the larger companies do, but they are just as vulnerable. So think about, if that information is hacked from wherever within a network, then it could be used or sold online. And so that becomes a cybersecurity issue for all of the people that have purchased from that particular retailer, as well as for the retailer themselves. So that, you know, and then there are other issues in terms of information that could be hacked from different sources. So that really becomes something that they need to be aware of, but they may not have thought about that particular risk. My husband's ID was stolen. He worked for a small company. They hired a small accountant, and his all of the entire company's Social Security numbers were stolen, and false tax returns were filed. So think about the amount of information on us, and this would all be medical information to some extent. So that would make it, even more egregious possibly.
Well, and if you like, so what's interesting is like the first thing you think of is, oh, marijuana. Okay. That's taboo, or that's something that we're not supposed to talk about. But at the same time, you're actually talking about something that is becoming so prevalent
much
in today's,
mainstream.
I mean, it's mainstream, right? It's like mm-hmm. My preference would be to have a cocktail, but at some point I live in California, you know, Dylan lives in Colorado. It's a different landscape than it used to be. And so what's great about this, and what I'm so happy we did this, and you're definitely, if I can talk you into it, if I haven't been, you know, too rude to you to get you to come back on at another time, I think there's so much more we can dig into. But what's great about this is it's just been very educational. I don't know that there are tidbits to take from this, but what I want people to really take is start learning. If you're not learning, start learning. If you're learning a little, learn more. If you love to learn, find new ways to learn. And having somebody like our guest Patty on this topic of learning and educating is so great. And to talk about things like that are so prevalent, like legalized marijuana, it's amazing. I do have a separate question, kind of more mm-hmm. like this is more out of curiosity than anything else. So I'm looking at your LinkedIn bio and it says Cockeysville, Maryland. Is that actually a place?
Yes, it's a real place.
Because I thought
actually,
up to this point,
it's a beautiful little suburb.
Patty, up to this point, I thought that was when people said, "Hey, Rick, where are you from?" I would say Cockeysville because people refer to me as being very cocky. So it's funny that it's actually a place in Maryland.
Yep. Yes, it is.
And if you happen to be in Cockeysville, don't forget to look up Patty when you're there. All right.
That's right. Yeah.
So again, great educational process here almost like learning how mm-hmm. to learn is part of the journey in this industry. Everyone that's heard me on this has said, take something out of our conversation and go back to your day and make it better. The thing for me is go back and decide what angle, what avenue you want to learn and learn more. If you're listening to this podcast, that means you do want to learn. It means you're trying to make your knowledge base better about our industry. That's great. I'm going to end this podcast the way we do actually every podcast, which is by asking you a question. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
This next bit, we're going to bury in a time capsule. We're going to record it, put it in a time capsule, and somebody's going to dig it up in a month, in a year, whenever they dig it up. What is Patty Harmon's one big piece of advice for the industry?
That would be to never forget how important what you do every day is in the lives of the people that you serve. I think insurers forget that they have such a tremendous impact on their policyholders. And no matter who within the company reaches out or touches that particular person, they have the ability to make incredible changes and really benefit that particular individual. So don't ever forget that what you do is extraordinarily important.
You know what's so great about that is this is a busy industry, right? If you work in this mm-hmm. industry, your yep. hair is on fire most of the time. And what you just said is, I think it's so great because we get caught up in the numbers and the policies and the retention and how do I get this through and how do I get that through? And because of what you do and where you work, you see firsthand how this industry is helping make people whole again, which is so powerful, which is what we do. And so I think what you yep. said is great, Patty. I think I want to leave everybody with, okay, if you're a fan of Patty's, I'm certain that you are. She's going to give you some other ways to go learn. How do people go learn? I mean, is it Property Casualty 360? Where do they go to get more intel on maybe what we talked about or just in general? What's a great source in your mind?
If you go to propertycasualty360.com, you can access any of our print publications there, our stories that are online, and get information about the webinars and other learning opportunities that we have as well. So that's probably the best place to go because you can kind of find everything in one place.
And can they find you there? Is LinkedIn the best way to get you? What's okay, perfect.
Yeah, they can find me. They can get me through the website as well.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being on, Patty. Hey, everybody listening in, do me a favor. As soon as you get off, go subscribe. Dylan, will you tell everybody for me how much we want them to subscribe?
Oh, please go subscribe now today. We would like nothing more than for all of you to go to your coworker's computer right now, get in their iTunes, click subscribe, click unsubscribe, click subscribe again, and then leave us a review. Tell us a joke. Tell us your favorite part about the podcast. We really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
We're trying to get ourselves to the top of the charts on this whole insurance podcast thing. Having people like Patty on make it pretty easy. We appreciate you, Patty. We'll have you on again. Thanks again. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Vertifor Insurance Podcast and tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. You can find more episodes at vertifor.com under the Resources tab or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, and if you enjoyed this episode, share it on social and spread the word. Don't forget to join in on the conversation and recommend future guests by messaging us at vertifor.com.